As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy!
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds!
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to Front and Nationwide. This is The Athletic's dedicated Blue Jackets podcast. Aaron Portzine with you on a Wednesday afternoon. Allison Lucan is here.
Hello.
Allison, day of the year weather-wise?
Oh, it's spectacular.
It is spectacular. Even Tom Reed couldn't bitch about this day weather-wise. It's beautiful out there. And the Blue Jackets are making news. We've got, as we've said a lot here, we got a lot to talk about today.
Indeed.
The Blue Jackets made a front office shuffling about today. New roles for Joseph Bamidian, new role for Rick Nash, Letestu, Dorsett, Thiessen, sticking with the organization or back with the organization in some cases. We'll get to all of that in a bit. Gregory Hoffman finally, Allison, signed his deal. 1 year, $900,000, one-way, one-year guaranteed money for him. But the news this week is sort of what we alluded to a week ago when we did this Front Nationwide podcast. Brad Larsen has been named the 8th full-time coach in Blue Jackets history. They've had 10 altogether. Brad Larsen is the pick. Allison, your thoughts on this rather major development, one of the big bits of news we've been waiting for this summer. It's now official. It's been official. Brad Larsen is the guy. Your thoughts, go.
Ooh. First and foremost, on a human level, you could tell how much this meant to him, to his family. And that's always neat to see. It's always neat to see someone chase down a dream and that they've worked hard for. So I'm excited for him on an individual level. I think that he made it very clear that he wants to, this is not, of course, his only focus, but he wants to build relationships with these players, strengthen relationships with these players, focus on helping make them the best that they can be. So I'm happy for him for sure. A bigger picture, it does signal to me that this organization is leaning into more of a development type period where they're going to focus on the youth and bringing in younger players, potentially mostly through the draft. That's what Brad Larsen has been successful at both here and in the AHL. I'm curious to see, I thought his respect for the tradition that the organization has built while still wanting to put his own thumbprint on it was really well handled by him. And I'm interested to see where that evolution goes. You know, this isn't a guy who he might think a little more old school hockey in terms of, lead with his gut, That's always been my read on him. I don't know how much he wants to look at numbers all day, and that's fine. That's 100% his right. So I'm really curious to see what kind of style he brings to, again, putting his thumbprint on how this team plays, how this team operates, and what it all looks like, truly from a systems perspective. And then the roster is kind of secondary for me, but I'm interested to see what changes and evolution he makes there.
Yeah. Yeah. I have similar thoughts. I think this is a coach. I think it's clear even before players who were in town showed up at the press conference, I think it's been pretty clear that Brad Larsen is a guy that players respect.
Mm-hmm, for
this
sure.
This is a guy that the players like.
For sure.
Not just as a Tortorella yes man, because I don't think he was entirely that.
Agree.
But I think he kind of keeps, I think he keeps both sides of this equation happy. I think the players in the room respected him. And you know what? Much like, I was thinking about this the other day, much like they rooted for Jonas Korpisalo when Bobrovsky moved along, I think they see Larsen in the same light. Like, this is a guy who's paid his dues. He was a head coach in the minors. He was an assistant coach in the minors. He's been an assistant coach up here. They see how hard he works. They see how dedicated he is. They see how genuine he is. I think they want him to have this opportunity and to be successful at it. I think it also appeases the front office in that he is not John Tortorella in a lot of ways, but he is John Tortorella in some ways.
Yes.
And he is not going to let things slide. He is a coach who is a former player, but I don't think he is a player's coach in the firmest sense of that phrase. I think he's a guy that will maintain the standards. He will not maintain them the same way that Tortorella did.
For sure.
He probably won't air it publicly. You won't see blowups on the bench. It won't be maybe as confrontational, especially publicly. But I think the front office trusts him that he sees the game and how the game is supposed to be played in a similar sense that they do. But to your point about this being a development stretch, and I think that's a really good word. I have a lot of thoughts on this aspect of it. This is a time for teaching.
Yes.
This is a time for patience and growth and all of those sort of unsexy things at this level. And I think Brad Larsen was a hell of a coach in the American Hockey League, which is not the easiest place to coach. And the players down there, I remember because I went to visit him a couple times one year and once the next year, they liked playing for him. Yeah. But at the same time, there were some pissed off hombres down there too, because I think it was might have been Calvert who was there and didn't think he should have been in one of those years. And Larsen dealt with that, not always with sugar and rainbows or whatever the saying is. So, you know, there's an edge to him too. It's not quite as pointed as Tortorella's is, but I think he's an interesting choice. I'll say this too, and it kind of leads me into the next aspect of this. I think this is an important hire for this front office too, because I think it helps them get back into the good graces of the room. And if it's one thing we've learned since the end of last season and where we're at now, it's that there grew to be quite a chasm between the dressing room and the front office here. And I think they needed to repair that. John Davidson helps. Hey, guys, come on over here now. Put your hands together. But I think this is an olive branch of sorts to them too. But I'll say this, and I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. I don't think this organization did Brad Larsen any favors.
Oh no.
In this sense, if you end one season and start the ensuing off season by saying that you're going to you're in it. You're going to compete. Quick little rebuild here, quick little retool here, and here we go. Then you're sizing people up that next season is going to be much like the previous forward, that this was just a little hiccup. And some of the names are going to change, but this is going to be a competitive team next year. So who do we want? Do we want Gallant? Do we want Tockett? Hey, maybe we'll get this rock star coach if he moves on. And that's not at all where this organization finds itself now. And I think there are people who would have been pissed off at a Brad Larsen hiring no matter what. But I think the people who were most pissed off when he got the job, and this isn't a few people. There was a lot of vitriol, Allison.
Oh, yeah.
I think a lot of those people were people who were sized up that we're going for it here in Columbus, the Blue Jackets. That's the Blue Jackets' voice. We're going for it. Everything's going to be fine. We're just going to make a couple of moves and be competitive next year. And so they're thinking, Gerard Gallant, he can take us deep into the playoffs. He's done it before with Vegas. And then this lands, and it, for a lot of people, I think it was the jolt that showed them or made them realize, oh, okay, so this is what this is. And I don't mean that as a shot against Brad Larsen, because who knows, he could be a hell of a coach.
Right.
I think he will be, to be honest with you. But I think it underwhelmed a lot of people because the hiring of the coach didn't match the expectations that they had established for their team. Does that make any sense?
It does, but I, you know, this is something I had said to you before we recorded here the past couple of days. You know, if you're right, the way this offseason started in terms of messaging was very different than what it is. And I'm actually forgetting it now, but Yarmo actually used a different word either than reload or rebuild in the Brad Larsen con. It was a re something, but I can't remember what it was. You know, I think that if, and not everyone has to listen to every word that John Davidson says. I mean, there was a PR parade throughout every single radio station and TV show for a while there, right after he got hired. But I think, you know, this is part of what John Davidson has been asked to help with, is if you listen to how John Davidson laid out in his own words, what was coming next, what this organization was looking at, where this organization was. I think he was, to your point, with his velvet touch, gently taking people by the hand and saying, no, we're going to go over here now. It's just that path looks nice, but we're just going to turn right at the fork in the road, not left. So I think people should have seen that coming. I also think, to be honest, I think people were upset about the Brad Larsen hiring. If I may give them this credit to a point, it was perceived, and even though we've talked about it, it's not like Brad Larsen is the only person in charge of the power play or in charge of executing the power play, as Cam Atkinson reminds us. He was viewed as ineffective at the NHL level, given what was often surmised to be his area of responsibility.
Fair.
But I think this also could have been kind of the landing spot for perhaps, I was surprised there wasn't more frustration, honestly, when the Seth Jones news came out. Hmm. And to me, that should have been, in addition to John Davidson's PR words, well, his words, I shouldn't even say PR, but his words, that should have been, in my opinion, the kind of like, okay, guys, do you not see now? And maybe this Brad Larsen hiring was just the lightning rod that allowed for the airing of grievances, if you will. But I think if you follow this team, and if it took this to show it to you, I think I would suggest that there may have been signs you should have seen along the way coming into this.
Yeah. And I also don't want to come across as saying that nobody should be upset about the Brad Larsen.
100%.
If that is, I mean, go for it. And who knows? I don't know. I don't know that he's going to be a good coach. I think he will. But I don't know, and you may not think he does, you may not think he's going to be, and that is by all means your prerogative. I just thought that it could have been, if the grow with us, we're going to grow and we're going to develop here for these next couple of years, instead of we're going to win.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that sets people up as a different expectation for what's coming. I don't think, honestly, and you may disagree with this, I don't think this is the time for an organization to spend $3.5-4 million on a coach. I don't. I think this is a time to teach and to a first year, a young coach that also has the capability to teach players how to be NHL players. I don't know if I think Brad Larsen has that capacity. I don't know, but I don't think you need to play. You don't think you need to be paying for a resume right now as much as you need to be paying for ability and the right fit personally.
Yeah, but I agree. However, comma, if the person that they truly had thought was the best fit was $3.5 million and you're planning to go get as elite talent as you can at a very young age, then that would have been worth it too, in my opinion. You know, and I think what to your original point, I think there are other reasons that and I don't think this is their intention, but the organization has put a big challenge in front of Brad Larsen. Listen, he could be the very, truly, honest to God, the very best coach in the world. But if he doesn't have a roster in front of him,
100%,
it's impossible, right? And I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but that's a really hard ask of a coach, a new coach, a first-time NHL coach. And as I've shared on here, with full respect to Brad Larsen, I think it's a hard ask to put a coach who has received a lot of vitriol from fans, whether it's earned or not, to now have to step in these times and what's being done. And further, as I've said, your relation, you know, I'll pick on Cam Atkinson. Cam Atkinson did not say this, but he's one of the people who knows Brad Larsen the best. You're going to have to change your relationship with Cam Atkinson again. You're going to have to change your relationship with a lot of those players in the room because you're no longer only the good guy. And I think that's a hard ask too, for anybody, when you elevate within the same team from an assistant coach to a head coach. So I think there are a lot of challenges in front of Brad Larsen that have nothing to do with his ability. It's the nature of the opportunity.
Yeah. That's interesting. And I was thinking about this too. I think judging an assistant coach, I get it. The power play and the penalty kill are the two very public numbers by which we can measure an assistant coach.
But it's so silly when you think about it, really.
It kind of is. To me, it's like judging a teacher by the GPA of the classroom.
I think it's even worse than that, honestly.
Maybe it is. It's an indicator. It is. Like, Blue Jackets' power play, should it have been better? Hell yes.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it was boring as shit the last four years.
Oh, my God.
I mean.
But how many people have they brought in to try and help it? Cam said this, right?
It's not
like a freaking Martin St-Louis was here. They brought in another coach last season. Like, this is not like, come on, seriously. Well,
and this is, I thought this was interesting, and it's one of those things you stumble upon. I'm going through the list of coaches, and I totally muffed one, by the way, because one had been hired and replaced already. But I was looking to see who's the last coach that was promoted from assistant to head coach in the offseason.
Okay.
So not the result of a midseason firing.
Sure.
Right?
Yep.
And so the only current NHL coach that fits that mold, and I'll tell it to you this way because it's the punchline, sort of, but this guy spent 7 years as an assistant with the team before he was promoted to head coach.
Okay.
As did Larsen.
Okay.
This guy was a former player, as was Larsen, and this guy was in charge of the power play.
And they both won cups, didn't they? They both won cups.
No.
Okay.
In those 7 years, though, if you put those 7 years together, which you can do with the NHL.com stats package.
Good job, Aaron.
Across those 7 years, because I sure wasn't going to add it all up and go through 30 teams over 7 years. In those 7 years, their power play was ranked 30th out of 31.
Right.
And that coach is Rod Brind'Amour.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that Brad Larsen is going to be Rod Brind'Amour. I'm not. He may be. But what I'm saying is that if you listen to the argument now that the power play is an indication of how good a coach could be or should be, I think Rod Brind'Amour blows that out of the water because obviously a hell of a coach. A hell of a coach. It's an indicator, but it's not the full picture.
Well, and this is where I'm going to get nerdy on you. Like, okay, please. There's only one other example. Like, so that's good, but it's also bad. Like, it doesn't happen a lot. So we don't really know what happens when an assistant coach, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
well, yeah, but
I just think, you know, and listen, this is on people like us. This is part of why hopefully I think we've always tried to tell stories of not just the head coach, particularly when you're as dynamic as John Tortorella, but being around a team, like to your point, this is why I say that's not a good number because they do so much more than that.
Yeah.
And we saw that, we knew that, we wrote about the different things a lot of these assistant coaches did and still do, but that's why I don't love it. It's not like Brad Larsen comes in and says today and all day, every day, I will only think about the power play. That is my job, right? Like that. And similar for when Bradshaw was here with the penalty kill. So that's why I don't like it. It's like saying I'm going to judge an entire restaurant by the appetizer that I got that was three pieces of something.
Yeah.
And I ate nothing else. I don't know.
Yeah. Right. I mean, and there's also all sorts of ramifications. How often do they practice the power play?
Right.
What elements of the power play do they work on and practice? Is the power play, the guy who's in charge of the power play, picking out his personnel? Because right. Tortorella, as we know, his thing was the power play is a privilege.
Right.
And I guess I agree with that to a point, but I also think pro sports is about winning.
Sure.
And your best guy should go on the power play. But there were little things like that that affect everything.
Yes.
Brad Larsen, 3-year deal. Gerard Gallant, who also interviewed twice for the job, recently hired by the New York Rangers. Looks like Brind'Amour staying in Carolina, although
interesting,
still isn't done.
Still reported by Sarah Sivian. Sorry, yeah, go ahead.
Sarah Sivian. Maybe talk it to Seattle.
Interesting, maybe? Isn't it?
Is. And I'm not hearing, the Buffalo's been kind of quiet, kind of weirdly quiet.
Well, they asked to speak to what's his face in Ottawa, and Ottawa said no.
Well, I got to tell you, I spent at the beginning of the coaching search, spent about 3 days just trying to reach all of the many, many possibilities.
Yes.
And no team gave me the runaround quite like Ottawa did.
It's just, I mean, listen.
And that was specifically about Capuano, too, who was over in the Worlds.
Yes.
And part of it was he couldn't possibly talk. He's at the Worlds. And
there's no phones.
Freaking every coach at the Worlds is doing this right now. yeah, I mean, so, yeah, do what you do, do well, I guess, there, Ottawa.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Allison, we spoke about this earlier, a shuffling in the front office.
Indeed, yes.
For the Blue Jackets. And
yes.
It's good to finally figure out what Joseph Pamidian's doing, because this is something we've heard about for about a month now.
Yes.
He's moved his entire family from Sweden to here.
Yes.
He is now head of pro scouting. He was head of European scouting. Now he's the head of pro scouting, which covers the world, not just half of it. Mm-hmm. Rick Nash, by the way, everyone say happy birthday. Former captain and legend of the Blue Jackets. He had been a special advisor to Jarmo Kekäläinen. He is now director of player development. I found out today it was Nash's birthday. I think this was announced today. I have not confirmed this, but I think this was announced today so that Jarmo wouldn't have to get him a gift. cannot be confirmed. Former Blue Jackets Mark Letestu, Derek Dorsett, and Brad Thiessen joined the development staff. Thiessen replacing Jim Corsi as the goaltending coach. And Nelson Iott has retired. Maybe the greatest title in the history of the Blue Jackets.
Yes.
VP of performance.
Loved
it. Is that what it was? Player performance?
I always mess it up. I'll have to look. But yeah, it was beautiful. It was wonderful. He was one of the first in the league. He was.
I think it was the made-up. They're all made-up titles. But I think the title was conjured by Bill Zito, former GM of the Blue Jackets.
There were only like two teams that had high performance, wasn't it? High performance. Ooh. I'm looking. Hold on.
VP you keep of talking. High performance? Something like that.
You keep talking. I'll look here.
So I talked to Rick Nash a little bit ago before we recorded, obviously. And
director of high performance. Go
director
ahead.
Director of high performance. Yes. And this signals a couple of things. First of all, that Nash, who has kind of been a jack of all trades the last couple of years in his special advisor role, go scout a game, go work on this project, tell us about this, do some pro scouting, trade deadline stuff. He sat in on the interviews with coaches, some of them, that he is starting to find an area that attracts him more than other areas.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talked about really – I always love when players leave the game and stay in the game. And usually like that first month is like, man, there's a lot of shit that goes on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
That they don't see as players, because of course they don't. But and I think Nash went through that for a while. But he was really starting to get into the scouting aspects of it and picking the brains of scouts. And what are you looking at? Like, and one of the tricks of scouting too is recognizing it's the whole idea of relativity, right? So if you've got a 19-year-old kid and junior who's dominating a bunch of 16-year-olds, that's kind of how it should be.
Right.
But it's recognizing the 16-year-old that has something. That kid has got something among 16-year-olds. It's a learned eye. And he is starting to lean towards that the youth aspect of this game, which makes a ton of sense to me. So he mentioned that there's going to be a lot of travel. It's going to be working closely with Chris Clark, assistant mm-hmm. general manager. And he's going to be going around to the Blue Jackets top prospects. I think it's probably not needed to be said. They're going to be adding some top prospects here over the next few years. So this now, Allison, becomes a very, very important role.
Yes. Yes. And for all the things that you just outlined, I like it. I like that Rick Nash, when he left the game, said, I don't know what all this is about. I'm just going to see, and kind of learned a little bit about this and that and the other thing, and has found a place. And, you know, Liam Foudy shared some of this with his experience of when he got called up. Again, when we talk about this organization continuing to build relationships with players and a reputation and what the organization can be about, I mean, I have to think that these kids, listen to me, these kids now aren't too old, that it's not a big freaking deal when Rick Nash comes to talk to you at your junior game or your, you know, college game or wherever you are. So I think that's nice. I think he'll be really good at it. And, you know, I like seeing, I think this is part of what the organization thinks they need to do. I like seeing that they're paying attention to some of the concerns. They're demonstrating that former players stick around. They're demonstrating that players believe in the organization, want to help the organization, and they're starting to try and build the beginnings of what, again, will be kind of that reputation of the organization and what it really means to be a Blue Jacket and to come up as a Blue Jacket with guys who aren't that far removed from playing. And Brad Thiessen is just, I mean, what a great guy, what a demonstrated great teacher as well. So I like that move. Additionally, these are nice. And I think they can pay off with the folks they have involved.
Yeah. You can't get, I was just thinking, you're right about Nash having that sort of awe factor with young players. Like,
right.
Like that's a name that still carries considerable weight.
Yeah.
I think Letestu and Dorsett, you talk about two people that would seem to be great representatives of the club. Like Letestu, these are two of the more respected players, not star players.
Right.
Two of the more respected players of their time. I mean, you talk to guys around the league.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of people who know those two and have 100%. Nothing but good things to say about those two.
100%.
Yeah.
And in different ways. Letestu is the guy that didn't get it quick.
Yep.
And
undrafted, Mark Letestu.
Undrafted, had to muck his way for everything, just to get a chance to establish himself in the NHL. Think of the stories he could tell young players.
Mm-hmm.
Derek Dorsett, if you stood next to him, you wouldn't believe his size.
Yep, it's true.
And his willingness to I mean, the kid.
Fought John Scott.
Oh, God, yes. And others. I mean, I will never forget the fight with, God, who was it? Colorado Avalanche. This guy was a great Leaf for a number of years. It was an unbelievable fight. I mean he is such an interesting guy. And you Thiessen didn't have the NHL experience of the other two, but you won't find a more genuine person in the game.
Yes.
I mean, just genuinely, and he's played a really interesting role in Cleveland the last couple of years. Wait, today am I a coach or a player?
That's right.
Oh, this morning I'm a coach, tonight I'm a player. Got
That's
it.
Right. That's right.
Do anything for the organization. Those are the kind of guys they need to surround. And I talked to Nash a little bit too. It can be an awkward conversation because he too has to be traded. And now he's charged with
a true Blue Jacket, you could argue. Just kidding.
True Blue Jacket, yes. Now he's charged, as my opinion, everybody in this organization is charged with figuring out what the hell is up.
Yep, 100%.
What are we doing? First of all, I don't know if this takes an outside party to give you the answer. Is this reputation we have right now, is it fair?
Yep.
If it's fair, how the hell do we fix it? Where do we start?
Yep.
Because if you don't fix that, all you're doing is changing the names and the cycle starts again.
Yep.
They got to change that.
Yep.
And I think there are people here who can change that if it needs to be changed. They need to ask hard questions and get to the bottom of it. But you know, when young kids see Rick Nash and they see him working for the Blue Jackets, that says something.
Oh, 100%.
When they see Letestu playing in Edmonton, but remaining in Columbus to live, that says something.
Mm-hmm.
And same with Dorsett. Dorsett's lived here since he retired as well.
And I think too, you know, I think of Letestu specifically, not to diminish the other two. Letestu is also someone who I was always impressed with his complete and total willingness to speak his mind and speak his mind quite well. And so to your point there of saying what is going on and are there things we need to change? Mark Letestu in particular, I mean, none of the three really, but Mark Letestu in particular doesn't strike me as someone who's going to be a shrinking violet should there be things that need to be said. Now, of course, things need to be listened to and implemented if there are such things, but you have some voices too. You have some people who aren't just going to look for what's going on. You have some people who I think are going to fight for any necessary change that might need to be made.
Yep. And I want guys like Mark Letestu and Derek Dorsett. I don't want to agree with them all the time.
100%.
I want them to be agents of change.
100%.
And I mean, it would be a shame if guys with that much to offer come in and just fall in line And I can't see him doing it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't think either of these guys are those people.
I don't think it's in their capacity.
For sure.
I mean, I know from covering Dorsett as a player, if he's got something to say, he's going to say it.
And Letestu as well, in my experience. So, yeah, I agree.
So one time with Dorsett, people like these stories, I think. He had been hurt. He came back from an injury and got hurt again. And we were doing this as the previous employer, the Columbus Dispatch. We did a blog, and it was for breaking news and all kinds of shit. And when he got injured, we popped a quick story up about it, and it said Dorsett something like this. He might remember Dorsett injured ... again. And to me, it just said, God damn, he's hurt again.
Right, right.
Not, oh, this guy's hurt again, which is how Derek Dorsett read it.
Amazing.
So the next day, hey, Derek, you got a second? I don't know if I really want to talk to you or not. Oh, whoa, 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 what's up? You called me a Band-Aid.
Oh, boy.
It's the first time I heard that expression. I what? You called me a Band-Aid. And we hashed it out. I defended myself, I thought, fairly, appropriately, and he was fine.
Yeah.
And I love that old school shit where I'm not going to let something fester.
Yep.
And I'm not going to handle like a baby either.
Yep.
We're going to talk. And chances are you've probably got a pretty good explanation for it. I told him I thought he read the headline wrong. I thought he was a little too close to it. That the headline wasn't basically saying he's a wuss and he got hurt again. But it was that he is, in fact, injured again. And not, you know, this is a new injury, people, not
right.
Anyways.
Right.
And he was great after that. And he's never been anything other than great. A real character kid. And I'm glad he's back with the organization. One other thing here before we get to the outdoor drinking stuff, which could be fun.
Big news.
The Crew got a name for their new stadium.
They did.
Lower.com.
And you know what? They did a good enough job selling it to me that I bought it.
Excellent. They seem to be selling things well right now.
I was telling you before we started, yes. In all seriousness, so they had their naming ceremony, whatever you call it, press whatever thing,
sure.
Yesterday. Failing. Very technical term. And the Crew, as they are supposed to do, pumping their own tires, put out their on social, their announcement of the new stadium. They put together a video. Now, this video was literally about, hey, here are people who gave us money to smack their name on the stadium. And P.S., by the way, it's not a sexy name. It's lower.com, which was getting ripped to shreds before everything went out. By the time I watched that video, I was hyped. They showed lights on the roof. I want to know if those lights are real. Like, I was excited. And this was about a freaking naming rights announcement. So I'll tell you, they're doing something.
That's good public relating right there.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Putting the R in PR.
Yeah, well, there won't be a similar Nationwide Arena announcement anytime soon because it appears to be staying Nationwide Arena for a long time. Don't have the terms. But it was supposed to expire either this year or next. I've gotten conflicting reports to that. Doesn't matter now. The Blue Jackets and Nationwide have agreed at some point recently to an extension. Again, terms not available. So it's going to be Nationwide Arena for the foreseeable future. Just that little update there.
I took that conversation in a direction you didn't expect it to go, did you?
No. I was half prepared for it. Because I knew you were excited about it. I made a snarky little thing like, boy, that's unfortunate. Just because lower is such a downer word.
Yeah.
Unless you're getting a mortgage.
Correct.
Which is the point.
And when you listen again, public relating, it's a local company.
It is. Amen.
It is a very interesting concept, and they immediately bundled their mission with the Crew mission, which is for certain goals, they're donating to better housing initiatives here in Columbus financially, which is great. Yes. So you know what? Call yourself whatever you want. Let's just go.
Absolutely. 100%. Appreciate them supporting local.
Correct.
100%. Allison, there may be, so a week from... Let's see, the 24th, so a week from tomorrow.
Correct.
There will be at the city council meeting.
Mm-hmm.
a discussion. They're going to review a proposal from Columbus Mayor Andrew Ginther.
Yes.
Which would create a designated outdoor refreshment area.
Correct.
Which means you can drink outside.
It puts Dora the Explorer in a whole new light because yes. People call it Adora.
Adora.
Yes.
A Dora.
Yes.
Dora.
Correct.
Yeah. But you can drink, that is, get drunk, have alcoholic beverages.
Responsibly.
Outside.
Yes.
Responsibly, of course. And this would include, Allison, the whole of the arena district.
Well, and I actually don't know the true limits of the arena district, but it is the current rendering shows all of Nationwide Boulevard from front down to the river. So past the Crew Stadium, some of you may be aware they're currently, as we speak, literally building a footbridge to connect the Crew Stadium is with over there into the Grandview and the footpath and things like that. So it's the whole of Nationwide. It wraps around Crew Stadium. It wraps around the front of Huntington Park. It runs down Neal to Spring and then behind along Spring and up to McPherson Commons. So it's the totality of that block and the totality of McPherson Commons, which I find compelling. It does include the green space that is on Neal. There's a little green space there. I don't know what it's called, but if you come down to the arena, you've probably seen it there. Between Neal and the parking garage, the McConnell parking garage.
Yeah.
The totality of the block where Nationwide Arena is, both plazas by Nationwide Arena. And then it runs along kind of the foot space there that goes down back to where R-Bar is. So this is a substantive space that they are outlining to be included in this.
And so in essence, there would be outdoor vendors from the local establishments that could serve you alcohol 3 hours before the start of the game,
mm-hmm.
up until midnight of that same day.
Correct.
Which means the party atmosphere outside the arena could get totally cranked up.
100%.
Woohoo!
Yay!
How would you vote if you were on city council?
I love this. I've seen such a positive reception from these Doras. I have friends who live in Cincinnati who have always enjoyed theirs. There's one in Hilliard that I've heard great things about. There are also ones in Dublin and Worthington and throughout the state. I think this arena district was built to support this kind of community coming together and fostering of attendance at events in the district. I think this is a great step. And I think that people come downtown already on weekends and things of that nature, and the vast majority seem to end up doing so responsibly from an alcohol perspective. So I'm not expecting some sort of like massive increase in irresponsible behavior. I think this is great. I love it. I think it's fantastic.
And it seems to be just before the sporting events with Blue Jackets, Clippers, Crew. I wonder if it extends to concerts at Nationwide or...
Yes. So there is actually, and let me make sure I'm citing the proper source. This was in Columbus Business First, an article mm-hmm. written by Haley Colombo, talking with Linda Logan, who is the executive director of the Greater Columbus Sports Commission. They want to entice people who are here for conventions to check out other attractions and vice versa. It may make it easier for sports fans to extend their time. It could also increase the number of special events that happen in the arena district. So they want to potentially, I'm scanning it here, but she said they're looking at some best practices to extend to other events as well. This was described as a first step, not the only. We think of this as a 1,000-step project, and we're only a few hundred steps into it.
Great. Awesome.
Yes. Yeah. Love it. Big fan.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this has been a jam-packed front in Nationwide.
Tell you what, we have run the gamut.
Yes, we have. And it's going to be a wild summer. Anything else to add?
No, I think we did it. All right. We did it.
We did the damn thing.
We did do.
Allison, thanks for being part of this. Front of Nationwide, thanks for listening, everybody. And we'll be back with you again next week.
Indeed.
All right, take care.